Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Good morning. Today's Tanya portion, page 227, 228, the beginning of Perek Mem Gimel, the beginning of chapter 43. As pointed out earlier, we are in a nine-chapter marathon about love of God and fear of God, and the various expressions of love of God and fear of God, and the critical importance of fear of God and love of God in the service of Hashem. We really can't be fulfilled Jews without having this fear and love, which are described as the wings upon which our Torah and mitzvahs soar on high. So today's Tanya discusses the fact, beginning with fear, that there are really two levels of fear. There is the lower fear of God, and then there is the higher fear of God, known as, we're about to learn, Yira Iloh, the higher fear, and Yira Tato, the lower fear. Or, beginning with the lower, Yira Tato, V'Yira Iloh. This helps us understand a perplexing comment in Pirkei Avot, Ethics of Our Fathers. There's a teaching that says, Im ein yira, ein chochma, if there's no fear, meaning if there's no fear of God, there's no wisdom. Ve'im ein chochma, ein yira, and if there's no wisdom, there's no fear. Now, that seems to be problematic, because the question is, which one comes first? The fear or the wisdom? The answer is they're both correct. The lower fear leads to the wisdom, wisdom being Torah and mitzvahs. In order to approach the service of God in the study of Torah and the observance of mitzvahs, we need a basic fear of God, described earlier as Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, the acceptance of the yoke of heaven. I'm in the program. That basic entry-level fear of God leads to a life of Torah study and mitzvahs, which is described in one word as chokhmah. And then the chokhmah, the Torah and mitzvahs, leads to an even higher level of fear of God, which is now an educated fear of God, described more as an awe, A-W-E, than a fear. Let's learn inside. V'hine al yira tato zu, regarding this lower or entry level of fear, shehu l'kiyum mitzvahs of Yizborech, which is absolutely mandatory and necessary in order to be able to fulfill God's commandments. V'pchines sur meira, whether we talk about turning away from evil, one cannot really turn away from evil. One cannot really turn away from evil without a basic entry-level fear of God. Va'aseh tov, or doing good. One cannot live a life of mitzvahs without an entry-level fear of God. So we need this basic knowledge of there is a God, He's watching over me, and I'm in the program. Omru, with regard to this, our sages have said, Im ein yira ein chachma, if there's no fear, there's no wisdom. V'yesh bo, even in this beginner's level of fear, there exists bechinas katnus, a lower entry level within the entry level, and that is one taps into the innate fear of God which exists within the heart of every Jew, even someone who doesn't have the background and the intellect and the IQ to study godliness. Upchinas godlus, and then there is a higher, more mature entry level of fear. Dahainu, what's the higher one? Kishanim sheches pchinas yirazu, when this lower form of fear of God is drawn not from the innate existence of fear of God within each and every Jew, but from a higher meditation and contemplation exercise. Mehahisbeinus, from the fact that the Jew thinks about and meditates Bigdulas Hashem and the greatness of Hashem, De'ihu Mimala Kolalman, simply to spend time thinking about the fact that God fills all worlds, and the world is vast, and the world is intricate. This will help us understand why the first part of the daily prayer is called Psukei Dezimra, the verses of song, and we talk about nature. We talk about the mountains and the valleys and the snow and the rain and the animals and the angels. We talk about the amazing nature, the National Geographic. That's what the first part of davening is about. If God created such a beautiful world, there must be a very great God. Furthermore, the span, the greatness, the vastness, or as we'll say today in the modern vernacular, the ever-expanding universe. Umehaoretz l'rikia, the fact that, as the Talmud says, when the Talmud wanted to make a statement thousands of years ago, it said, how far is it from earth to heaven? The answer is mahalach takshona. If you wanted to walk, it would take you 500 years. That's pretty far. Obein l'rikia l'rikia, said the Talmud, how far is it between heaven and heaven? Another 500 years walking. Ragle hachayes keneged kulam, the feet of the holy angels, which are called animals, how large are they? Another 500-year walk. In other words, we meditate upon the vastness, the huge expanse of creation. That is in and of itself enough to overwhelm one. So also, the process of trickling down of divine energy from world to world, as we climb the ladder up higher and higher to the greatest heights, nevertheless, despite the fact that this person is meditating about the natural phenomenon of creation, and he's going higher and higher, Nikra Yirazu, this fear is still referred to as Yira Chitzenius, an outer fear, an external fear, Vitato, a lower or entry-level fear. Why? Because the beginning point is the world. We begin with the world. How do I know there is a God? Because there's a beautiful world. My knowledge and fear of God stems from the fact that there is a beautiful world. Shehem, so we might say that creation, Levushim Shel HaMelech, becomes the garb of the king. In chapter 42, we talked about the analogy of the king and the many garments which the king wears. Nature is the garment of the king. HaKodesh Baruch Hu, this is the garb of the Holy One, blessed be He, Asher Mistater Umisalim. God conceals Himself and hides, Umislabesh, and enclothes Himself, Bohem, within the natural forces, Lehachyesam, to vitalize them, Ulekaimam, and to cause them to exist, Lihye, so they should be Yesh, a creation of existence, Me'ayin, coming from what? Coming from what, from the perspective of the creation, appears to be nothing. And that's creatio ex nihilo, creating something from nothing, or ex nihilo. Rak shehi hashar v'apesach l'kiyam ha'teir v'amitzvos. You're going to say, what's the big deal? You're telling me there is a God because there is a rhinoceros? You're telling me there is a God because there's an elephant? There is a God because there's a snow peak mountain? The answer is yes, that's a beginning. Because without recognizing that nature is the garment of God, and that God conceals Himself within nature, and nature expresses the phenomenon known as God, one cannot study Torah and do mitzvahs as a Jew. Because first and foremost, we need to know that the world around us is the manifestation of God's expression. And that's why that's the entry level fear. And that's why, as I said earlier, and I'll say it again, we begin the prayers with this section of describing the phenomenon of nature. Just to repeat that which I've said probably hundreds of times in Tanya class. Olam milashon he'elam. The word in Hebrew for world is rooted in the word concealment. The world conceals divine energy. The world, nature, looks like nature, but it's really godliness concealed within nature, so that nature is the garment of God. That's the entry-level fear. So we look around at this wonderful world and we say, wow, look at God's world. Look at God's creation. It's wondrous. If God's creation is wondrous, God must be amazing. That's a very entry-level awareness of God. Ah, however, there's a much higher level. But at least the entry-level, Yira, causes one to reach Chokhmah, the wisdom of Torah and mitzvahs. However, Hayira ilo, then there is the higher advanced level of fear, which we can't even describe with the word fear. Fear is an inadequate word for that level. It's more of awe. Yirei beishes, it's a fear and an awe where the onlooker feels insignificant and almost embarrassed to exist because that which the onlooker looks at is so great. For example, someone would look at a very, very powerful king, a world power, and he's an insignificant nobody. Or spiritually, a simple Jew would come and gaze at a serious tzaddik, would become overwhelmed in awe of the king in the political sense, or of the tzaddik in the spiritual sense. The yira pnimius, this is more of an internal experience of fear. Shehi nimsheches, because this higher level of awe flows mipnimius o elikus, from the inner energies of godly energy, shebesecha elemes, within the worlds. We gaze at the godly energy flowing through the worlds. Aleha Omru, it is this higher advanced level of fear or awe regarding which our sages taught and said, Im ein chochma ein yira, if there's no wisdom, meaning if we have not excelled in our Torah study and in our mitzvah performance, we can't even attain or achieve that higher level of awe. Why? Because what it takes to attain that higher level is knowing that we are not, is humility, is nullification. De chokhma, we say that chokhma, which you translate as wisdom, really comes from the spark of what? What we believe is wisdom is really understanding. Chokhma is a spark. He koachma, the power of what? As we learned in the early part of this book of Tanya, the chokhmah is the bridge coming from nowhere. The chokhmah is the first dot. As we've talked many times, it's like the person is perplexed with a challenge, a problem. He can't solve it. He's been walking, pacing for hours, and suddenly he says, I got it. I figured it out. And at that moment, he's interrupted because the doorbell rings. The interruption comes to an end. He can't remember what he got, because he never developed it. It's like the spark and the lighter, which unless the fuel ignites it, is gone. That's the spark of Chokhmah, which is more a faith than an understanding. Ve'ezehu Chokhom harayas hanaylad, or our sages say, who is wise? He who sees what will happen, but literally it is what is born. In the simple meaning, this means that a person has to understand that action A will lead to action B. But in a deeper sense, Chassidus and Kabbalah says, Ezehu Chokham, who is truly wise, he who sees birth, Pirish Shereya Kol Davar, he sees the birth and genesis of everything, Eich Neilad V'Nisaba, how everything is born and comes about, me'ayin, from a state of nothingness, liyesh, to a state of existence, bidvar Hashem, through the word of God, viduach piv, and the breath, allegorically speaking, of his mouth, yizbarech, may be blessed, k'meshe kosev. This is actually verbiage in the davening, uveruach piv, kol tzvom, with the breath of his mouth, allegorically speaking, all of their hosts. The hosts of heaven and earth were created with the breath of Hashem's mouth, allegorically speaking. V'ilazais, in that case, harei ha-shamayim b'ha'oretz, the heaven and the earth, v'chol tzvom and all of their hosts, b'teilim b'metzias mamash, are literally nullified in their very existence, b'dvar Hashem, in the word of God, v'ruach piv, and the breath of his mouth, u'kilo mamash k'shibi, and are considered as nothing, v'ayin v'epes mamash, literally non-existent, as one would imagine, sunlight and sun rays would be within the sun. Here, sunlight is a big deal. Here, sun rays are a big deal. Imagine the value of sunlight or sun ray within the sun. So that if God overwhelms his creation with his godly existence, surely man is overwhelmed. A person should not remove himself from the category of creation. His body, his soul, all three levels of his soul, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, b'teilim b'metzias, are nullified in their existence, b'dvar Hashem, in the word of God. V'dibura yizborech, and the word of Hashem, blessed be he, miyuchad b'machshavtei, are all one in the thought process of Hashem. So that the entire world, entire creation, is within a couple of words of Hashem, so to speak. Ukenis Boileel, as we explained earlier in chapters 20-21, Bariches at great length, Bederech Moshul, using the analogy and the parable, Minepesh Odom, from the soul of man, Shedibur Echad Midiburi Amachshavte Kelam Mamish. We talked about the following parable earlier, that everything within man has five steps. We talked about the fact that there is intellect, that which I understand, and then we talked about emotion, that which I feel, that which I think, that which I speak, and that which I do. Intellect, emotion, thought, speech, deed. Within speech, which emanates from thought, which emanates from emotion, which emanates from intellect, how many words can a human being speak in a lifetime? Almost infinite. How many words can a human being speak in a day, in an hour? If you take a few words, which is what creation represents, God created the worlds with 10 utterances. Isn't that insignificant relative to the essence of God? That's the imagery we talked about earlier. That's the meaning of the verse. In Job, behold, the fear of God is wisdom. This wisdom brings to a true fear of God. However, let it be known that it's impossible to reach and acquire this fear and this wisdom. Ela b'kiyam ha-teirav ha-mitzvos, only through the fulfillment of Torah and study of Torah and mitzvahs, al yedei yira tato hachitzenius, which begins with the beginner's level, the entry level, the outer external level of fear, zel shekosev, and that's the meaning, or zel sheomru im ein yira ein chachma. That's what Pirkei Avos says. If there is no fear, there is no wisdom. Then one acquires the wisdom. If there's no wisdom, there's no fear, one goes to a much higher level of knowing that everything begins with Hashem and extends into his creation. V'hine bi'ahavo, just as we learned in yesterday's portion about fear, when it comes to love, yesh gam kein shtei madreges, there are also two forms of love of God. Ahava, check. No, that's fine. Ahava rabba bi ahavas elam. There is what is called Ahava Rabba, the great love, and Ahavas Olam. Ahavas Olam either means love of this world, or it could also mean eternal love. So the higher level is the great love, Ahava Rabba, and the lower level is Ahavas Olam. He starts first with the higher form or the greater love. Ahava Rabba, this great love, this powerful love, he Ahava Bitanugim is also called in other places the love of delight. And in simple terms, it means that I don't want anything for myself. I'm not looking to satiate my own need for love. I only love God because I want to love God. I don't want anything from God. It's a passionate love for God that has nothing to do with me or with how I will feel. I just want to become one with God. That's very unusual. Only a great tzaddik can experience that love. He defines it now, that would be shalheves, like a flame, ha'oila me'eleha, which ascends on its own, ubo milmaila, one cannot even attain or achieve this higher form of love through hard work. It's not something that you can achieve because you want to. But rather, it comes from on high, b'pchinas matono, in the form of a gift. To one who has perfected his fear of God. If a person was a tzaddik, and the person worked so hard to first achieve the lower form of fear, then to rise up to the higher form of awe of God, God will sometimes gift him with this heavenly, otherworldly love. Kneida, as we know in the works of Kabbalah, Al-Maimer, when it comes to the teaching of Razal of our sages, and this teaching of our sages is a simple teaching in the tractate Kiddushin, the tractate of marriage, where the Gemara makes a statement. When it comes to people who are looking to get married, when it comes to people who want to set up their lives in marriage, the question is, who should pursue who? Should the man pursue the woman? Or should the woman pursue the man? I guess in modern terms they say, who has to pay for the date? Does the man have to pay for the date? Or does the woman have to pay for the date? Who has to call after the date? Does the man have to call? Or does the woman have to call? I mean, these are all these very important contemporary 21st century questions. So the Gemara in Kedushin says, Darkei shel ish lachzer achar isha. It is the nature and way of man to pursue woman, so that the man pursues, the woman is pursued. Yes, the woman has to send a signal that she's interested, that she's available. That's what the Talmud says thousands of years ago. What does this have to do with the Brooklyn Bridge? We go to the teachings of Kabbalah. In the teachings of Kabbalah, we talk about fear and love. So it says that love is that attribute on the right side. Fear is that attribute on the left side. It says that love is a male attribute. Fear is a female attribute, Kabbalistically. And here, look back into the Tanya, she'ahava, love, nikras, ish, is called man, v'zochar, and male. K'meshekosav, as it says, zochar chazdei, he remembers his kindness. So you can read this, zochar, remember, or you could read it, zochor, male, that kindness is male, meaning kindness is not necessarily kindness, it's flow. It's passion. The isha, what is the female attribute? Yiras Hashem, the fear of God. As it says, isha yiras Hashem, a woman who fears God. Keneda, as we know, so that fear is a feminine attribute. Love and passion and pursuit is a masculine attribute. It doesn't mean that women don't have love, and it doesn't mean that men don't have fear. But it's the Kabbalistic root source. Obelik dimas hayira. Therefore, if we say that the male pursues the female, it means that fear precedes love of God. Without fear of God coming first, this is the Kabbalistic play on the teaching in the Talmud, one cannot achieve this powerful love. One first must be perfect, must have been perfected in the higher form of fear of God. Why is that? Because this higher form of love of delight, he emanates from Mipchinus, from the highest world known as Atzilus, the world of emanation. Deles tamon kitzutz upirud chas v'sholom. In this world, there's no separation, God forbid. This is the world of God. And therefore, one can only achieve this love of delight when one has perfected oneself in the practical day-to-day application of Judaism and reached and attained and achieved the highest form of fear of God. Then sometimes this person can be gifted with a special otherworldly love, but that's not for most people. What is for most people? However, the lower form of love, ahavas elam, the love of this world or the love of eternity, he, that's the love of God, habo, which comes, mehatfuna vidas, out of simple understanding and knowledge, meditation, bigdulas Hashem. One meditates upon the greatness of God, meditating that God is Ein Sof, infinite, Baruch Hu, may He be blessed. Hamimala kol almin, divine energy fills all worlds. V'seviv kol almin, and hovers about all worlds. V'kula kamekula mamash chshiv, and nothing has any value relative to Hashem. Ukebitul dibur echad benepesh hamaskelas. We talk about the value of the world relative to Hashem. We talked earlier, how many words can a person speak in a lifetime or in a month or in a day or in an hour? Many. What is the value of one word to the potential of words we can speak in a lifetime? The answer is nil. So also God created the entire universe with 10 utterances. What's the value of the entire earth universe to the essence of God? Ukebitul dibur echad, like the non-entity, non-existence, nullification of one word, benepesh hamaskelis, in the intellectual soul, be'ed b'machshavta, while it's still in its thought, e'bechemdas halev, or in the desire of the heart canal. Asher ayideis bein enizu, through meditating about the meaninglessness, relatively speaking, of the entire world, relative to Hashem. If a person thinks about how great Hashem is and how small the world we live in is relative to Hashem, how finite, how limited. Memela, therefore, as a byproduct, automatically, tispashit midas ha'ava shebenepesh milbusheha, that attribute of love will divest itself from its garments, dahainu, where the person's passion will not invest itself in any physical, material passions, a ruchni, or even spiritual, the ahava, I say, to desire that, because when a person meditates about God and the vastness of God, how can we be passionate about seven-layer cake, which is so transient and so temporary? Vileilach beitz klal, a person will not desire at all shum dover ba'elam, any worldly object, because worldly objects are so transient, they're so meaningless, they have no eternity to them. Bilti Hashem levade, ultimately, through enough meditation, a person can acquire an appreciation for passion for God, who is Moker Hachayim, he's the source of all life. shall call out tanugim of all delights. Shekulam betelim b'mitzius, because they are all literally nullified in their existence. Ukalo mamish kamech shivi, and relative to Hashem, they are non-existent. Ve'ein areich v'dimyon klal b'neim chas v'shom. There isn't even any relative comparison. K'meisha ein areich la'ayin v'epes ha'muchlet. Just like there is no relative comparison between a non-entity legabe chayim nitzchim, relative to eternity. How can we compare God to something that's not? K'meisha kosev, as it says, mili b'shamayim, who is to me in heaven? V'im cholei chafatzi boretz, and I desire nothing with you on earth. My flesh, my heart yearns, O rock of my heart. Actually, there's an entire essay called Kuntres Umayin, written by the fifth Rebbe of Chabad, who explains the whole idea of passion and the various levels of passion and delight which a person experiences. And he basically divides it into four categories. He says the lowest form of passion is when a person says, I love food. Give me a steak and potatoes, and that's all I want. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. It's wonderful. If you don't appreciate a good steak and good potatoes, then you haven't been around. But that's not all there is to love. Delight has more than that. There are more pleasures in the world that are higher and more sublime than just a piece of meat and potatoes and a glass of wine. But it's a good entry level. But that's the very beginning. And the same goes for all bodily passions. There's a higher passion, step two, he says in this discourse, and that is when somebody appreciates and loves and is passionate about and delights in music. So when he has a choice, are we going to go to a concert? Are we going to go hear this great pianist? Are we going to go hear this great symphony? Or are we going to go for steak and potatoes? He'll say, I choose the concert anytime. Because music uplifts him. That's a higher form of delight. But there's a higher form than that, and that is intellect. A brilliant lecturer. A brilliant once-in-a-lifetime lecturer. So he'll forego the steak. He'll forego the concert to go hear this brilliant lecture because wisdom is even higher than music in the delight department. And then there's the highest form of all, which is divine wisdom, godly delight. So there is the basic materialistic delight, there's the musical delight, there's the intellectual delight, but the divine delight is higher than all of them. So therefore, through meditation and contemplation, it's possible for a person to attain and achieve a delight in God. It's a process. That is, if you're a person who delights in something. What if you're a person who delights in nothing? You're apathetic. You don't care. The famous saying, what's the difference between ignorance and apathy? I don't know and I don't care. I don't care. This is what the Alter Rebbe addresses now. What if the love within a person's soul is not enclosed in any material delight? In any spiritual delight, he's apathetic, he has no passion for anything. This is a problem. I remember as a kid, the teachers who taught us, a teacher shared something very wise. He says, you know, we want the kids to be passionate about their studies. Or we went to a Jewish school, a Torah school. We want children to be passionate about Torah. We want children to be passionate about mitzvahs. So what do we see? We see that kids are passionate. What are most kids passionate about? I don't think he was talking about me. What are most kids passionate about? Baseball. Everybody's passionate about baseball. Those were the days, Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris, who's better, the Yankees, very important days. So the teacher said, I like the kids who are passionate about sports because they have their passion. It's functioning. It's running. The juices are running. Now we have to take the passion and transform it from a sports passion to a Torah passion. Okay, we have our work cut out for us. But the kids who are not passionate about anything, those are the kids I'm worried about. I'd rather have the child passionate about whatever, because I have a passion to work with. But if I have apathy, this is a problem. And that's what the Alter Rebbe says. What if someone is not passionate about any material delights? He's not passionate about any spiritual delights. You want a steak? Meh, yeah, no. You want a concert? I don't know. You want to go hear a lecture? I don't know. Still, with hard work, yochel ahaliv nafshe, a person can still cause his soul to become inflamed. Kiddush be'esh, with burning coals, v'shal ebes azah, and flaming fire, v'lav, and a flame, ha'el ha'shamayim, which ascends up to heaven. Al yidei yisbeinenis hanal. Even this person can accomplish this through a process of orderly meditation. Study about Torah, about mitzvahs, about God, about godliness, and enough study and enough meditation, anyone can acquire this passion, Commissioner Kosov Lekamon, as we will explain later, or Commissioner Zbor Lekamon, as we will explain later, end of today's Tanya portion.